43. Mark chapter 5, 21 through 43. And when Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered about him, and he was beside the sea. Then came one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and seeing him, he fell at his feet and implored him earnestly, saying, "My little daughter is well and at the point of death with him." And a great crowd followed him and thronged about him. And there was a woman who had a discharge of blood for 12 years, and who had suffered much under many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard the reports about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, "If I touch even his garments, I will be made well." And immediately the flow of blood dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. And Jesus, perceiving in himself that power had gone out from him, immediately turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my garments?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing around you, and yet you say, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see who had done it. He looked around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." While he was still speaking, there came from the ruler's house some who said, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" But overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the ruler of the synagogue, "Do not fear, only believe." And he allowed no one to follow him except Peter and James and John, the brother of James. They came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and Jesus saw a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. And when he had entered, he said to them, "Why are you making a commotion and weeping? The child is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. But he put them all outside and took the child's father and mother and those who were with him and went in where the child was. Taking her by the hand, he said to her, "Talitha kum," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." And immediately the girl got up and began walking, for she was 12 years of age, and they were immediately overcome with amazement. And he strictly charged them that no one should know this and told them to give her something to eat. This is the reading of God's word. You may be seated. So this morning, as I woke up and was thinking through before I went back to sleep, I was thinking through, God, what do you want me to say? What can I say? I mean, I'm not going to step on Brother Kelly's heels. I'm not going to preach his sermon. That would be rude, and I would hate if somebody did that to me. And so, God, what do you want me to say? What can I say this morning that will leave people feeling like the Spirit has spoken to them this morning? And I just kept thinking through every passage I taught, all my favorite Bible passages, all my favorite moments in Scripture, and this one just kept coming back to me. This one kept sticking out to me this morning. This is one of my favorite passages in the Gospel. Specifically, even the Mark version is just fantastic. Because I love what Jesus does for this woman and for Jairus and his daughter. And I want us to pay special attention to Jesus' touch, to the touch of Jesus this morning. I want us to look at that. So when I was younger, I loved watching scary movies. Does anybody like to watch scary movies? No, just a couple of you? Well, I loved watching scary movies when I was younger. I don't get to watch them anymore because my wife doesn't like them, which is fine. You know, most of the scary movies are not worth your time. But I loved watching them when I was younger. Sometimes when I was really too little, my mom would say no. She was good for that. She knew if she let me watch that scary movie, where was I going to be by the end of the night? Right next to her in the bedroom because I was terrified. So I would watch these scary movies. Sometimes she would do it. She would have let me do it and then immediately regret that decision. And I would watch these scary movies. I'd feel terrified afterwards. I was scared. I couldn't sleep. I kept hearing noises and seeing shadows. And pretty soon, I was too afraid to stay in my own room. And so this would happen from time to time. I would go and stay in my parents' room, and I would actually, they would set up a little pallet of blankets next to my mom's side of the bed, and I would sleep on the floor. And I remember even thinking, being very scared in that moment. But I remember in those moments, my mom, what she would do is she would just kind of drop her hand down the side of the bed. And I would just grab her hand as a young child and feel so safe and feel so loved. Something about her touch, holding her hand, helped me fall asleep at night and made me feel better. In today's text, there's a lot to say about touch. Jairus begs Jesus to come and to heal his sick and dying daughter. If he would only just put his hands on her, if he would only just lay them on her, he knew that she would be healed. The bleeding woman on the way who had been suffering for 12 years knew that if she could just touch Jesus' robe, she knew she could be healed. And Jesus, even while being mocked by the little girl's family, knew that if he could only touch her lifeless body, that she would rise up alive. All three, Jairus, the bleeding woman, and Jesus, believed and knew that a touch of Jesus goes a long way. So today, we're not going to be talking about Brother Kelly's sermon. You'll get that next week, I'm sure. But we're going to keep it on Jesus, because that's the best way to centralize the message. That's what everything's about, right? Everything should be focused on Jesus. So today, I want us to look closely first at Jairus. So if you look in your Bibles, we're looking at Jairus. We're going to first see that the faithful touch brings attention. The faithful touch brings attention. Right off the bat, we see Jesus and his disciples, and they're getting off their boat. Now, if you don't, you may not know this. The Gospel of Mark does some very interesting things. One of the things that it does is half the time of half the Gospel of Mark, Jesus is actually constantly getting on and getting off of boats. If you read through the Gospel of Mark, you'll see this. He actually does it 18 times in the Gospel of Mark. And it's the first half of Mark. He gets off of boats, he gets on boats, he gets off boats. Every time he gets on a boat, he teaches. And every time he gets off the boat, he does a miracle. He performs some kind of miracle or some kind of healing or something. And then this is a case where he gets off a boat, and as he gets off the boat, everyone's approaching him, waiting for their miracle. And this one man, Jairus, who we're told is a leader of the synagogue, approaches Jesus and falls to his knees. Now, we already know Jesus was not very popular among the leaders of the synagogues. But here is a leader of a synagogue who has no other option. He has run out of choices. He has to trust in Jesus. And he runs to Jesus. He falls to his knees and he begs Jesus, "Jesus, please, please come lay your hands on my daughter. She's about to die and I know that you can heal her." What kind of faith Jairus seems to have in this moment? It's a great faith. He has amazing faith in this moment. Faith, or at least possibly even desperation, has driven this leader of a synagogue to fall to his knees in the presence of the only one who can save his daughter. Jairus needs a touch from Jesus right now, so Jesus goes. Now look, I'm not a parent yet. I hope to be one day, but I'm not a parent yet. But I've been told numerous times that when a parent holds their newborn baby in their hands, to touch them and hold their tiny little hands, that there's this immediate sense of connection and belonging. Is that true? Right. There's something about this. It's just, this is my child who I created. And I imagine a parent can be no prouder of themselves than they are in that moment. A moment where you can physically bond with your child finally after the long wait. I've also seen the unimaginable sorrow that comes from a parent who watches their child suffer from sickness, yet they're unable to help them. I've seen this firsthand. I've watched it. I've watched the tears and anguish from a parent who can no longer hold their child's hand, no longer feel their warmth. And my heart breaks for those of you that have experienced that too. I heard a story once about an African woman who had just lost her baby in the womb. The baby was stillborn inside of her. This woman, she cried and cried and cried to her village. And to everyone who would listen to her, she cried about her sorrow. until one day she cried to an elderly woman in the village. This elderly woman grabbed her arm and immediately drug her, pulled her outside of the village to the town cemetery. And she brought her out there to the cemetery, and as this woman's crying about her unborn or her stillborn child, this woman pulls her out and starts to point. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 8 times she counted 8 tombstones. And she said to the woman, "You come to me with tears over a child whom you never held, whom you never felt. Yet I have buried 8 of my own, and I held each one of them in my arms." Her children had died in a war. Touch can be a wonderful and terrible burden. Jairus has watched his daughter grow up for 12 years, and now she is near death. I imagine Jairus holding his daughter's hand as they skip down the street to the market. I imagine Jairus holding his daughter's hand as she suffers in her deathbed. Jairus cannot bear to replace the wonderful touch with a terrible one. He can't bear it. Touch brings the attention of all who feel it. Touch grasps us from both within and from without in order to focus on what is important. Touch communicates love and attention to others. So Haley and I are generally not touchy people. And people look at us when we meet other couples that are touchy, they think we're strange. But honestly, it's just who we are. We're not touchy people. We didn't grow up in very touchy families, so we're not touchy people. But one of my favorite times in Sunday worship is the meet and greet. I love that time. I mean, do you know why we take time every service to shake one another's hands and hug one another's necks? It's because that physical contact with another human being who genuinely wants to know how you've been is one of the most encouraging acts that one person can give to another. Just the act of shaking hands creates fellowship with one another. Don't you miss when we don't have that? I missed it during COVID. It's one of my favorite times. I hate to miss that few minutes each week if I'm not here. When we look around the room, we see all these faces, and we can look and see everyone here now. Don't sit out during that moment. Don't miss the attention that is desperately desired, even by people like me who don't like to be hugged. Don't miss it. Love the fellowship. For some, your handshake or hug may be the only touch that somebody may feel for that week. Or it might just be the only kind touch they felt for that week. Never underestimate the power of your touch. So our story continues as we move from Jairus to the bleeding woman. The bleeding woman teaches us that the needy touch brings priority. The needy touch brings priority. So Jairus' daughter's near death. Jesus is quickly moving through the crowds with his disciples as bodyguards. And Jesus is like this modern pop star. Everybody's crowding in on him. Everybody wants to touch Jesus. Everybody wants to be close to him. And as he goes, Jesus suddenly stops. He stops. Can you imagine what Jairus must be thinking? "Man, my daughter is dying right now. Why are you stopping? She is going to die any minute. Why have you stopped?" Jairus has finally found somebody who can heal his daughter, but just as Jesus did with Lazarus, he is waiting. He's taking the time. He's prioritizing something else for this moment. I can imagine the anxiety swelling up in Jairus. But Jesus recognizes that he's been touched by someone who is needy. Someone who needs him, which beckons him to give priority in the moment. I don't think Jesus loves this woman more than he loves the daughter. But in a moment of need, Jesus gives priority. Can we not all be thankful for that? In my moments of need, I'm glad Jesus gives me a little priority. Jesus gives priority here. This bleeding woman, right, she falls down in the midst of the crowd and she reaches out just to touch Jesus' robe. She doesn't even have to touch him. She just needs to touch his robe. I think the Gospel of Luke even says just the hem of his robe. Just his robe would be enough that she believes that she would be healed. And through this 12 years, we see that this woman's been suffering. She's seen many doctors, medicine men, shaman, all the healers this world could offer. She spent all that she had searching for a cure, only to discover that her condition was helpless, hopeless. I imagine that these doctors had to touch her to examine her. The kind of touch that's cold and uncomfortable, a touch without love or care. Now, I don't know about you, that's one of the reasons I don't like going to the doctor. When they touch you with those cold hands, and they're rigid and rough and not loving and not caring, or they touch you with that cold piece of metal so you have to breathe 20 times to make sure that you can breathe. It's uncomfortable, it's unwelcoming, it's impersonal. But here, she reaches out to Jesus, a last attempt at being made well, and miraculously she's healed. Crazy. We're told that Jesus actually felt a power moving out of him. He stops in the middle of the crowd, calling out this woman who falls to at his feet in fear. How would you feel if Jesus called you out in the middle of a crowd? Maybe some are proud or confused enough to feel confident and stand tall. But almost every instance in Scripture when God calls out an individual, it is met with a humble bowing and great fear and trembling. When the God of creation calls you out, it's met with humble, it's met with humility, not pride. She falls down to her knees, and she, with great fear and trembling, she's terrified, but also relieved because she could feel that she was healed. It says that she felt immediately, and Mark does this too. The Gospel of Mark called the Gospel of Mark the rushing lion of Gospels, because it says if Jesus is rushing forward over and over and over again like a lion trying to devour its prey. Jesus is so quick in this gospel. So immediately she felt healed. Immediately he felt the power leave him. And he tells her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well." Jesus, the creator of all things, calls this woman out and he calls her daughter. This is no ordinary or random woman. This is Jesus' own child that he stops for. She's a child of God, a believer in the one whom all touch restores all brokenness. Jesus knows what Jairus is anxious about, because that little girl who's dying is not just Jairus's. She belongs to Jesus as well. Jesus knows how Jairus feels. He knows how this woman feels. In fact, that's what we've been talking about in the book of Hebrews. Is one of the amazing things about Jesus becoming our high priest is that he knows exactly how we feel. One of the reasons, one of the primary reasons that God took on flesh was so that he would know what it was like to live a mortal life. He would know, and he knows. In 1866, Hawaii established a leper colony. Have you ever heard this story before? 1866, Hawaii established a leper colony on it's called the Kalaupapa Peninsula. Doesn't look like that when you spell it out, but I had to put in parentheses how to pronounce it. Kalaupapa Peninsula. It was mistakenly believed at the time that leprosy was highly contagious. According to the CDC today, leprosy was once feared as a highly contagious and devastating disease, but now we know it doesn't spread easily and treatment is very effective. However, if left untreated, the nerve damage can result in the crippling of hands and feet, paralysis, and blindness. Leprosy is not a very dangerous disease if treated. But in 1866, the people of Hawaii didn't know this. They believed it was incredibly dangerous. This belief resulted in the forced quarantine of leprosy patients on the island. One man, who was now known by the name Saint Damien, a Catholic priest, felt the call of God to attend to these people. He then ministered single-handedly, spiritually and physically, to the needs of 600 lepers, dressing their wounds, building them houses, and digging their graves. Even after he had caught the disease himself, he continued his work. now assisted by other members of his order, the Sisters of Charity, until he too became helpless himself. St. Damien served these people for 16 years before this illness claimed his life. Damien felt that these lepers, though they carried a dangerous disease, needed help, and so he prioritized their lives over against his own. Jesus brings a priority to the needy. How does it feel to know that Jesus is willing to stop everything that he's doing for just one of his children who are in need? It reminds me of the parables of the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the prodigal son. Many of us are very familiar with those. Sometimes in hard times, people need a touch from Jesus with a little priority at the moment. There are people today in this community who are hurting, suffering, and are in need of a little touch, a little priority even from us. We should have programs in the church, which we do. We should have programs like Grief Share. We should have programs where we reach out to those in need and give a little priority to them. And we should be involved in that stuff. We need to stop, and maybe it's just me, but I need to stop focusing on myself and start paying special priority attention to those who are really in need. Because I think that's what Jesus would do. I need to pay attention to them. When we look around the room and we go to greet one another, pay attention. Give priority to those who need a loving hand today. After we leave today, don't leave someone. If you know they had a hard week, I mean, we all just got off of Thanksgiving. And look, Thanksgiving's great. Food's amazing. It's my favorite holiday. But family's hard. Some people today need a priority touch. Some people need it, and we need to pay attention. Get involved with a ministry like Grief Share that affords you the opportunity to show that loving touch of priority to those in need. I know Grief Share just did a holiday special class just specifically for people who won't have family or didn't have family. I think that's awesome. We should be more involved. Lastly, we get to see the story of a touch come to its full conclusion. Jesus shows us that the powerful touch brings life. The powerful touch brings life. As Jesus and Jairus approach the house, they see some caregivers leaving the building, and they all have tears in their eyes. Finally, Jesus arrives to heal Jairus' daughter, but of course, he's too late, like he planned it. The family is weeping. The girl's dead. All hope seems lost. The caregivers tell Jesus, "Don't worry about it, teacher. She's already dead. You're too late." Another thing you'll learn from the Gospel of Mark, really from all the Gospels, is almost always when somebody calls Jesus a teacher or rabbi, and that's all they call him, he usually does something immediately afterward to show that he's so much more than that. Pay attention. When you read the Gospels this week, because I know all of you are going to go home and read the Gospel of Mark now. When you read the Gospel this week and you look, when somebody calls him teacher or rabbi, almost always he winds up performing some kind of a miracle or something that actually proves he's way more than just that. And so these caregivers come out and they say, "Don't worry, don't bother the teacher anymore. He couldn't get here in time." And so I'm amazed that what Jesus does afterwards. Jesus just looks at Jairus, this father who's just now been told that his daughter is dead. And he looks to Jairus and he says, "Don't be afraid. Just believe." Now, I don't know about you. I mean, I'm not a parent, but I feel like if my daughter had just died, I don't know if those words would be enough. I don't know if that would be enough for me. But Jesus says, "Don't worry. Don't be afraid. Just believe." Whose faith was it that healed the bleeding woman? What happens there? Go back. Think about this. She falls down. She touches his garment. And it says power left Jesus. He felt it leave her. And what does he say to her? He says, "Daughter, go. Your faith has made you well." Whose faith healed the bleeding woman? Her faith. Whose faith will heal Jairus' daughter? his faith. He says, don't worry, just believe. It's the same word. Believe and faith are the same word in Greek. Don't worry, just have faith. That's what he's telling him. Now, this is great. So Jesus takes his disciples, he takes Jairus and his wife into the room where the daughter's at. He kicks all the family out. The family's saying, oh, no, he's dead. She's dead. She's dead. There's no reason to do this. And they're all crying. They're sad. They're sorrowful. It makes sense. But Jesus says to them, why are you crying? She's just sleeping. Death is not death to Jesus. Death is a nap. I mean, gosh, you know, my parents can wake me from a nap. My wife can wake me from a nap pretty easy. And Jesus looks at death to us as permanent. To that bleeding woman, her bleeding was permanent. Jesus looks at that and says, it's nothing. It's easy to overcome. And what does he do? He pulls them into the room. The doctors have felt her pulse and they've said she's dead. He says, get out of the way. He pulls them into the room. They go up to the little girl, brings the parents with her. And I just imagine, I mean, we're not told this exactly, but Jesus must have, I imagine he just kind of grabs her hand. He just holds her for a second. He puts his hands on her is what we're told. But imagine he's just grabbing her and maybe put his hand on her forehead or something. And he just says, Talitha kum. He's, get up, little girl. Arise. Wake up. What he's saying. It's the same. Wake up. You're not dead. You're sleeping. Wake up. Doctors are probably in there like, what? I mean, I checked her pulse. She's dead. She's not sleeping. But Jesus says, no. Wake up. He commands her, wake up. And what happens? As is good old Mark, immediately she rises up. And what does she do? She goes for a walk. She goes for a walk. This girl doesn't need any rest. She's as good as new, better than ever, thanks to the powerful touch of Jesus Christ. All who are near are amazed at what they just witnessed. This little 12-year-old girl, freshly dead, is now living and breathing again. There is power in his touch. Well, Bill Gaither, you know, you had to know I was going to say this. Bill Gaither wrote a song. It's a really great song. Although, my wife says, don't walk down the street singing this because it hasn't aged well. But the song's called He Touched Me. Verse 1 says, shackled by a heavy burden, neath a load of guilt and shame, then the hand of Jesus touched me, and now I am no longer the same. The chorus says, He touched me, oh, He touched me, and oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know He touched me and made me whole. It's a beautiful song. It's amazing. I almost thought about calling John this morning and saying, hey, John, can you work a miracle, John? But I decided not to, but read it to you instead. Probably one of Bill Gaither's most famous songs just tells it right. Jairus is shackled by the burden of his dying daughter, has run out of options. He's desperately seeking Jesus' attention. The bleeding woman, pressed by the load of guilt and shame of her condition, is desperately seeking priority from Jesus. Thankfully, neither of these two people stood a chance against the powerful touch that brings life. And I would assume that both of them were no longer the same. I mean, how could you be? Once Jesus has touched you, once Jesus has changed your life, how could you be the same? So in closing, I just want to say that perhaps you need a little touch of Jesus in your life right now. Maybe the story of Jairus and the bleeding woman has sparked something in your soul. Maybe you feel like you don't really know Jesus that way. I want to invite you to come up. If that's you, and I hope it's not. I hope everybody in here knows Jesus. But if it's not you and you don't feel like you know Jesus that way, let me share a touch with you. I'll hold your hand. I'll pray over you. Let me help you. Maybe you're just frustrated from your family. Maybe you had a rough week. Great time, great food, but a lot of drama. That's okay. Come up here. Let me talk to you. Let me share you with my drama. Make you feel a lot better, right? It's kind of like if your arm hurts, pinch him in the leg, see if it still hurts. Let me help you. Let me share a hug with you. And I'm not a hugger, but I'll hug you. I'll do it because I know it's important. I know it matters. And maybe more than anything, maybe you guys just need to hug each other. And so I will say, I think it's a little unorthodox. It's a little strange. Brother Kelly might be mad at me. But if you need a hug, tell someone. This is your family. This is your church family. If you had a hard week, if you've had a difficult month, tell someone. And that someone that they tell, share a touch. Show them love. Show them care. Show them compassion. Do something with them. Help them. Because this is important. Jesus did it. And if we're supposed to be like him, why shouldn't we? So I promise you that if you will open yourself up to Jesus and you'll open yourself up to the touch that he gives, and you will also then take that out into the world and give that same touch to others, guys, this church would be overflowing. This town would be blessed beyond reason. In a world where people are dying for a touch, be the touch of Jesus. Be that for your people. I'm going to pray for us, and then we'll be done. So. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we just thank you for your Son. God, Jesus is such an amazing example that even people as selfish and as privileged as someone like me, somebody who stands off and doesn't want to touch people, God, I see the importance of what you've done here. God, I pray that we would leave this room today and that we would make it our personal goal and challenge to find somebody who needs a touch today, who needs attention, who needs a touch, and somebody that we can share Jesus with in that way. God, we don't always know the right words to say, but God, you've given us bodies, and a hug can say a lot. Lord, we just pray again for our pastor. I pray that you'd give him a healing touch in this moment, and that you'd bring him back safely to us. We love you, God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Sing it one more time. Learn.